And so this morning I would like to share with you a psalm of song and of worship. It is Psalm 95. It is a psalm to call to worship and obedience to our Creator. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Psalm 95. It's a short psalm, so I'll read the whole thing. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is great, is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his. He made it. And his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. The psalm is split up in two parts. The first part of the psalm is a call to worship, and the second part is a warning of disobedience. The psalm starts with calling Israel to come, to sing, and to shout joyfully. You know, we are very blessed in our church. We have a lot of people who are musically gifted, who can sing and play instruments. We even have people who can teach others who can't sing to sing. we're very blessed. But this is all a gift from God, and we are meant to use this to glorify God. And even if we cannot sing, it says that we can still shout joyfully to the Lord God. Church is not to be just a quiet place of worship. It is supposed to be a unified voice singing and shouting praise to the rock of our salvation. The metaphor, the rock of our salvation, that the psalmist uses here is for God, is especially appropriate for this psalm, which refers to the rock in the wilderness that God told Moses to strike, and that water came out for all the people to drink. This happened in a place called Massah and Meribah, which means tempting and contention or strife, where the Israelites tested and contended with God, not believing he would provide. Faith is believing that God is who he says he is, the creator of the world, the sustainer of all life, the one who holds the deep in his hands, as well as the heights of the mountains, the creator of all. We are to glorify, praise, and thank God for who he is. We are not to grumble and complain as Israel did in the wilderness those 40 years. Philippians 2:14 and 15 says, do all things without complaining or disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We are to shine as lights in the world as Christians. We are to be different. God desires our hearts to be obedient to him, loving him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When we start focusing on all that God has done for us and thanking him for the glory he shows through his creation, for the salvation he provides through his Son, for us, it is natural to complain and to be selfish of our own hearts. We start to dis, sorry, It is natural for us to complain and have selfish hearts. But it is God that will provide, and we are supposed to give thanks to Him. The call to worship is a reminder to every believer of what the Lord really wants from us. There is also a warning here about hardening our hearts as children of Israel did in the wilderness. The results were serious, as a generation could not enter God's rest. They were denied entry into the promised land. Hebrews gives us a commentary of these last verses in Psalm. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3, and starting at verse 7. And it recites the last part of Psalm 95. It says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice," it is today we are supposed to hear His voice. It is a call that it is immediate, something that we all need to turn to the Lord immediately. "Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard rebelled, indeed was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do not enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his work. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Therefore, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his." God rested from the work of creation on the seventh day, but still works holding the world together. Just as our Savior sits at the right hand of God, he rests from his work of salvation, forgiving all sin. We too can enter this rest when we repent and place our faith in Jesus to sustain us in all things. We enter this rest that Jesus gives. It is not just one day a week on the Sabbath or a Sunday, but it is a rest for every day. We trust Christ alone for our salvation, and he provides us rest because his work is complete. We do not have to worry if we are good enough or that we have done enough, but because we could never have done what Christ has already completed for us. We just need faith to rest in the Lord. So we still work in this earth, even though we have found rest in Jesus, not because we have to, but because we get to, because he loves us. And so we work out our love and obedience, trusting in him to provide. Many of us fail to have that wonderful position of rest in the Lord. We are troubled and filled with anxiety, and a part of the reason is the failure to focus on the Lord and worship him. When our focus is only on our world and the things that we need, it is simple to complain and to be upset over what we think God has done or isn't doing. Or our lack of worship and submission is the issue. But when our hearts are tuned to the Lord, all our complaining and selfish wanting seems to disappear, and our focus is on others and worship of our great and wonderful God. As it says in the psalm, O come, let us worship, bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.